This week, what does it take to design an RV floor plan? We talked to our friends over at Sabre about how they take customer feedback and influencer collaborations and more. This is RV Miles. Chances are you've seen them on the road. That's because Blue Ox designs and manufactures the best towing products in the industry. Just look around. You'll find them on highways and campgrounds and anywhere you find people traveling in the great outdoors. From award-winning tow bars and base plates to a full line of weight distribution hitches, adjustable ball mounts, and now they have fifth wheel hitches too. With Blue Ox, towing doesn't have to be a drag. Visit blueox.com for more information. More in a moment, but first, this episode is sponsored by RVMattress.com by Brooklyn Bedding. Get a real mattress for your RV instead of the cheap piece of foam that it came with at RVMattress.com by Brooklyn Bedding. They sell real mattresses in all the odd sizes RVs require, like short kings, Olympic queens, odd bunk sizes, different thicknesses, and more. Their mattresses are toxin-free, made in their factory in Arizona, and shipped to you vacuum-sealed wherever you are. You just unwrap them and let them expand. They have a 120-night sleep trial, free shipping, and a limited lifetime warranty. But the best part is the RV Miles community gets 30% off, the best deal they ever offer any day of the year with code RVMiles at RVMattress.com/RVMiles. That's RVMattress.com/RVMiles with code RVMiles at checkout for 30% off. Welcome to episode 390 of RV Miles. I'm Jason.
And I'm Abby. And we are two RVers who, along with our three boys, have been crisscrossing all over North America on one epic RV road trip since 2016. Here at RV Miles, we talk all things RV and outdoors, from industry news to travel destinations, designing RVs, and a whole lot more.
390. We're on the way to the big 400.
Wow.
That's exciting.
It's weird.
We'll be there in a few weeks. We should, a couple announcements about the coming weeks of the show. This will be our last show of 2025.
Happy New Year, everyone.
And starting in 2026, as we did last year, we will be doing mini episodes again for the month of January. So there'll be shorter episodes. Fresh Tank, Black Tank will have the month off. And we'll be taking that time to go to Florida and do the whole RV Super Show thing in Tampa, where we will have a meet and greet, we have decided.
Yes.
We've put in for a time.
Would you like me to jump in here?
Sure.
Okay.
That's why I was about to say, we've put it into a time, and Abby knows about that, and I don't.
Yeah, I could see you trying to be like, what did she tell me in the car on the way here? Right. I do not remember. So yeah, so part of the reason why we take these mini episodes and we do them a couple times a month, or a couple times a year, I should say, is because we have things coming up that we know, like in August, we knew we were going to be traveling. We also knew it was birthdays. Those are busy. January is busy because we're also, it's the kickoff to RV show season. And for us, we always try to attend the Florida RV show in Tampa. And so we're going to be down there. We're going to be there for the Wednesday and Thursday of the public opening of the show. And on Thursday right now, we have put in to do a meet and greet. They have a huge new sort of what they're calling a meet and greet area. They've really kind of leaned into this over the last few years when they finally realized.
Yeah. And I should say here, too, this is something that I didn't bring up with Dave Kelly last week because I didn't see it. The show is bigger this year.
Yeah.
They're using, I didn't even know there was more room at the fairgrounds, but there's like a big, I think it's like a horse show barn that they're using for the Ford Towing Boot Camp, which is going to be at the fairgrounds. And then next to that is this meet and greet space sort of in the middle of the show. It's going to, for people who have been to the show many times in the past, it's going to look significantly different.
Yeah, this space is huge, which part of me, because this is my social anxiety and my always my fear that, you know, if you build it, they still won't come.
Stop it.
And so I originally didn't want to, you know, book a space. It's a 45-minute space. And right now it looks like it's going to be Thursday around 3 o'clock of the show. So please mark your calendars if you're going to be there to come join us. But as we get confirmation, I will make posts across social media as well as in the Mile Marker Facebook group and then the RV Miles Facebook group to confirm what time our meet and greet is.
Time slots just opened up. That was the one we selected, but so, whether we get it or not, who knows?
Yeah, we'll get a confirmation here pretty soon. But they're going to have a big digital sign that will direct you to where this area is. I believe it will have the schedule of who is meeting when. We get 45 minutes to hang out with y'all or do a talk. We haven't quite decided what we're going to do. Last time we did this, we kind of thought we were just going to be interacting with all of you and getting a chance to kind of talk one-on-one to everybody and meet all of you. And then it sort of ended up being a Q&A a little bit.
They had like a microphone and the ability for us to sort of talk to the room. We didn't expect the space when we walked into it.
No.
The last time we did set up like an audience with seats.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. So,
if you were at our last one, you saw us walk in like deer in the headlights because we were like, this is not what we were expecting. We weren't expecting to stand up here and talk for 45 minutes. But you know us, we know how to make 45 minutes go by like that. So I'm not quite sure what the whole setup in regards to how the meet and greet is going to go this year, but it is definitely going to be in a bigger space. It's going to be easy to find, and they're really leaning into having meet and greets for influencers, content creators to meet all of you because this show is huge and there's a lot of us there. So that's happening. And then at the end of January, we've talked about this, we're going to be at the Kansas City RV show on the last Saturday of January. We're just there for that one day at the show. And while we're there, we will be doing, I believe I just saw the schedule and I believe we're doing three seminars and then we have a meet and greet at the 37 RV Miles. So the 37 RV Miles is going to be both, I believe, at Tampa.
Yeah, it'll be at both shows. We have Saber just sent us these.
Oh my gosh,
these mugs. They're the color changing mugs. So when you put hot liquid into them, they're black when they're cold, and you put hot liquid into them, the Saber 37 RV Miles appears.
It's so wild. When I unwrapped them, because I didn't know these were coming, and we get this package, and it says that it was from the Forest River sales department. And I was like, oh, do we have something they needed to send us for the rig or whatever? I had no idea. And I opened these up and it's just these two black mugs. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that's so sweet. They know we like coffee. They sent us these black coffee mugs. And I was like, cool.
And it's the new, the Rugged and Loyal with the full wrap.
Damien's company, our friend Damien Ross, his company that he has started. In addition, you know, he's the editor over at RV Today.
I did talk to Shirley, and the Rugged and Loyal edition won't be at Florida, but it's really cool.
It is very cool.
Cherokee, who is the division of Forest River that Sabre's under, just did a big whole photo shoot with one at a tailgating event, and it looks really great.
Yeah, maybe we can overlay a few photos here of it while we're talking. But so, yeah, I get these mugs and I'm thinking, oh, well, black mugs. These are nice and they'll look good, you know, on cameras. And then I just looked a little closer and I was like, wait, there's something. Oh, and I was like, oh, these are going to be color changing. And then I kind of like fangirled a little bit when I realized that it was going to be the 37 RV Miles that showed up. And I was like, I really feel like you know what? I said, Jason, we should probably just go ahead and retire.
Yeah.
I said, two things have happened. We got to design an RV.
Having the RV isn't enough.
On but the
coffee mug.
And I was like, and you can tell, like, it's because it's, if you're watching this, you're probably noticing as I'm holding this warm mug, there are spots where I'm holding it that it's starting to turn black again. Those are the cold spots because we still don't have heat in our studio yet.
Like,
so
it's like 30 degrees outside and there's no heat in here.
There's no heat in here. So my hands are very, very cold.
We do have a little space heater going at the moment, but
it's not cutting through it.
We're not going to get the heat fixed until we come back. So today we're recording this on Friday morning before the show. We leave town basically as soon as we're done with this. So we're going to go load the truck up and we're heading to Kansas City and we're heading out of town.
Down to Texas.
We're going to Kansas City for a couple days and it's just a stopover really on our way to Texas where we're having Christmas with Abby's brother.
The old four-wheel drive sleigh.
Our brother and my brother-in-law, I guess.
Yeah.
And
85 degrees. Let's just talk about what the most important part of this whole conversation is when it comes to Texas.
We keep thinking, oh, we've got all these nice clothes to wear for Christmas, and they're all sweaters.
I'm like, just everybody break out your shorts and t-shirts. It's going to be in the 80s while we're there, and that's really lovely. So that is part of the reason why we have these mini episodes coming up for January, because of our travel schedule with work, but also, so we have a couple of big announcements here for RV Miles. So those were the RV show announcements that we just talked about. We've got the meet and greet that's going to happen in Tampa. We're going to be down at the Kansas City RV show on the last Saturday of January. We will also have a meet and greet there. But the biggest one, and this for you audio listeners, this will change nothing about how you consume the RV Miles podcast. So if you need to go get yourself a cup of coffee, feel free. Feel free, or just maybe hit 30 seconds for a couple if you don't care about what's going on YouTube. But for our YouTube friends, we have decided that it is time to consolidate and stop having so many different platforms all over the place. Because we've heard y'all. We've heard y'all for years. I just don't know where all your things are. And the newsletter is a great way to get everything that we're doing without having to worry about what channel you go and find it. So if you're not on the Road Signs newsletter, you should definitely get on that, because we send out all the content and you don't have to remember what channel it lands on. But we have decided that it is time to retire the RV Miles podcast channel. And we are going to be moving this podcast that you are watching over to the, what I call the OG, the original RV Miles channel, where you find Jason's news videos, where you find our more RV life topic focused videos. We are bringing the podcast back over to there. It'll continue to be on the same day. You'll find it on Sundays over on that channel beginning in January.
And I had to just tell you, this has been an agonizing decision to make.
Agonizing.
Because when we started doing a video version of the podcast, we did put it on that channel. And that was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
It's almost exactly 4 years ago.
So we did maybe 40 episodes or so.
A decent amount.
On the main RV Miles channel. And what we had found, and this is when video podcasts were just starting to really get popular, is that on our channel, and this was backed up by things that were happening on a lot of other channels as well, that the lower views of the podcast, which is totally normal, and we expect the podcast to have lower views than the shorter videos. People just don't click on an hour, 10-minute video as often.
I do.
I love a good long video. It is happening more and more. Like the largest corner of YouTube now is people watching on their TVs at home. Mm-hmm. It is becoming, your home entertainment system. So what we found is it was detracting from some of the other videos. But in that process of moving the podcast over to a new channel, it did solve the problem. Our views went back up almost instantly mm-hmm. on the news videos and some of the shorter content that mostly I do. And in that time, though, YouTube has made a big focus on podcasts, and they've sort of understood some of the mistakes they've made where there's mixed content on a single channel detracting from other views. So now really any video you watch on YouTube, it's really supposed to be based on whether other people like that. If it's recommended to you, it's based on whether other people liked it and watched it. And it's really not that much based on past stuff on the channel. And I've sort of spent some time recently verifying some of this with some YouTube experts, like, is this something that they have solved? Because now there is a dedicated podcast feed on a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And what we have found over the course of us doing this is, yeah, it's helped us in some ways, but there's been so much audience confusion. Yeah. They don't know where to find us, but they search for us and they just find the one channel or the other, and they were looking for maybe the other one, and it gets confusing. So we're bringing them together, and we've sort of said to ourselves, well, even if it does affect views in some way, we don't really care as much about that now. We really care about building community more, bringing people over and developing this show a little bit more. There's going to be some changes to this show going forward once we have the set complete. And I'm hoping that once the mini episodes are over, that's going to be when we sort of kind of debut the newer version of the show, but we'll see. It's still going to be a thing there. I don't think anybody listening to this or watching this right now cares, but some people do care. Some of the people that were watching the shorter stuff are like, don't bring that long stuff over here. Don't watch that long stuff. Don't watch it. It's okay.
Don't bring that garbage over here.
You don't have to watch the long stuff.
Leave that woman on that other channel. Don't bring her over here.
I'm not going to deny that they say that.
Yep. But here's the thing. Like, YouTube has figured it out. And 4 years ago, we traded lack of community for health of channel.
Yeah.
And now we're at a point where YouTube has figured things out with the podcast because it is such a huge market for them now that we can have health of channel and health of community. And so it's really important for us that those things be able to coexist together. And they cannot do that when we are constantly fighting. We're currently running 3 YouTube channels. That's a lot of YouTube channels. And it's always like, where do we put this topic and where do we put that topic and who gets this and who gets that? And that's unfair to all of you. It's a lot of extra work for us. It was never meant to be a 2-channel RV Miles YouTube thing to begin with. And so I'm excited to eliminate one more extra step so that we can focus our attention on more important things. And so starting in January, you're going to find everything in one place. And we hope that whether you are a fan of short form, whether you are a fan of long form, that you will still continue to join us on that channel. We haven't seen the same reaction in the audio world as we do in the video world to, again, don't bring that long form over here, because we do put the news up on the RV Miles audio.
Yeah.
And I have seen no change, really. No, in the view.
The only thing that happens with that is if I forget to put it up, people are like, where is it?
Right. They're like, chase it.
It's going to be an interesting experiment. But again, I think we've finally made the decision that if it does affect views in some way, we don't care. But really we do care.
We do care, but we know that this is the right decision and we know that things take time. So if you're watching this on the RV Miles podcast YouTube channel and you are not subscribed to our OG RV Miles channel, that's going to come up across the screen. It's just youtube.com/RV Miles.
I like that you say that. Now I have to put it on.
Yes, I said it. So we can put it on there, because let's be real. As many people are watching this on their television, they're not clicking a description to go get a link.
No.
They're not doing that. And that is something that we're also discussing with advertisers, because the world of podcasting is changing and we need to change with that in order to give all of you the best experience possible. So if you're not subscribed to OG RV Miles, youtube.com/RV Miles, go over there, get subscribed to that, and know that starting in January, mini episodes are going to come out and they're going to be over there, and it's still going to be Jason and Abby. We're still going to be doing our same old thing. We're still going to talk way longer than we tell each other. We always say we're out of here, 45 minutes, we're done. Never happens.
The podcast, really, we would like it to spend more time complimenting the other videos. So do a news story and perhaps I interview somebody and take a couple quotes of it and throw it into a news story, well, maybe that full interview will be on the podcast. Or you and I can spend some time talking in depth about a particular news story sometimes, instead of it just living in that short form on the news channel.
Yeah, we're tired of pretending like the two things aren't actually one and the same. We talk about them as one and the same at home, but we treat them as two different things here. So we think that this is really going to build community, that we're going to see people who are fans of the short form, maybe want to get a little involved in the long form into short form, and everybody's going to get to know one another. And that is going to be really exciting. So those are our big announcements, mini episodes coming. We're moving to the RV Miles channel, meet and greet in Tampa, and at the Kansas City RV show in January.
With that said, let's talk about RVs. We are pleased to have our good friends, Sydney and Shirley from Sabre. And I've said that a dozen times now, and I screw it up every time. Sydney and Shirley from Sabre Sales.
Sydney and
To chat a little bit of
Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Sydney and Shirley.
These are the folks who we worked with very closely in creating the RV. So we talk a little bit in this interview about the design process and how they incorporate feedback, how they decide what floor plans to sell and all that sort of stuff. So without further ado, here we go. More in a moment, but first, this episode is sponsored by eTrailer. Ever feel like finding the right RV part is like searching for a needle in a haystack? Enter eTrailer.com. Whether you're puzzled about which product is right for you or how to install it, eTrailer has got you covered. Their US-based customer service is available by chat or phone 7 days a week. And with expert Q&As, helpful articles, and tons of reviews and install videos, you'll tackle any RV problem with confidence. eTrailer strives to get their hands on everything they sell, and their website is full of overviews, reviews, buying guides, and tutorials. And it's not just RV parts, it's towing and vehicle accessories, camping supplies, and more. Head to the link in the description and get free shipping on orders over $99. The RV lifestyle is about community, and the RV community is at the heart of RV life. RV Life recently celebrated the 1 millionth trip planned with RV Life Trip Wizard, their excellent trip planning tool for RVers, featuring all the trusted reviews, pictures, and tips from their RV Life campground site. RV Life also features several blog sites and over 20 additional RVing forums to serve the community. All this experience and community feedback come together to help create a fantastic RV trip planner and mobile navigation tool collectively called RV Life Pro. RV Life has marked a milestone of over 3 billion miles traveled using RV Life Pro with a B, counting both the planned RV trips and ad hoc navigation with the included RV Safe mobile app. Take 25% off RV Life Pro at the link in the description for this episode. My guests today are Shirley Cartwright, the product manager for Sabre RVs, along with Sydney Briggs with sales from Sabre. Shirley and there's too many S's. Shirley and Sydney, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I wanted to bring you guys on because, well, first of all, we had such a great collaboration putting together the Sabre 37 RV Miles. But Abby and I learned so much about the RV design process through doing this with y'all. And this wasn't even our first time working together. And we'd worked together when we were brand ambassadors for the 37 FLL a few years ago. And we had done the factory tours and we had been back and forth many times and seen how everything worked. But going through the process of designing a floor plan for an RV was really, really eye-opening in a lot of ways. So I thought it would be really great to bring you guys on to sort of talk about how some of that works, both from your standpoint and then from a sales standpoint, you know, what the customer sees, what the customers want. Because I think there's like this attitude out there a lot of the times that that RV manufacturers don't listen to customers. And I think the reality is there's a lot of customers with a lot of different opinions to listen to. And in the end, you have to make choices. And all of RV design is a bit of an exercise in compromise. So Shirley, could you start out with sharing with me at a company like Sabre, when you're starting to build a floor plan from scratch, what's the first stuff in your mind? What are the first questions you're asking yourself? What are you trying to accomplish when you set out to start with a new floor plan?
Well, first, it depends on, are we trying to get something that's family oriented? Is it going to be for a couple? You know, is it going to have some kind of way for them to work from it, or are they just going to be camping in it? So there's like lots of different things that we're thinking about as we determine, like, what are we missing in our lineup? What are people asking for? What are they looking for?
When you see all of the other brands out there, obviously there's a lot of RV brands, and at Forest River, so we should say Sabre is a division of Forest River, and there's a lot of brands at Forest River, and there's a lot of copying each other's floor plans throughout the RV industry often. Are you trying to react to what some of the other brands are doing as well? You're trying to, you know, find something that sets you apart in a little way?
We do try to set ourselves apart. I'm not saying we haven't went with, like, if there's something really, really popular that people really, really want, we look at what they're asking for. And if someone's got it out there, we're like, okay, based on feedback that we get at shows and things like that, we're like, what don't they like about the other ones that are already out there? Why are they not buying those? What do we need to do to make ours more user friendly or have more storage or whatever the case may be? Like in our 36 DBB, the lofts and a lot of them were just not deep enough, you know, and that's one of the things people are saying. They liked the extra sleeping up top, but, you know, they're not really tall enough for the kids to sit up there and play, things like that. So, and seating, they were talking about seating. There wasn't enough seating for like them to dine in there and to actually sit and watch a movie as a family. Because it sleeps a lot of people. So we're constantly listening to that feedback, and we do try to improve on maybe floor plans already out there. Or in some cases, we just try to come up with something on our own that's based around what we're getting feedback on.
But you only do, so one of the things we love about Saber is right now I think you have seven different floor plans in your lineup. And I think that's one of the great things you're in this giant company, Forest River. And a lot of people don't realize how separate all of the brands really are. And you've got your own factory and you're producing everything right there. So with only seven products in your line, it must be tough then to make some of those decisions about, well, this is doing really well in the industry right now. For instance, remote work is something that people have really been trying to cater to in the RV industry. How do you make the decisions about, will this sell? Is this something that will get people excited? Is this something that we can, that we should just hold off on and not do? It's not, you know, good enough for us at the moment.
We try to stay away from like niche-y type things. So we at the shows, like I'm constantly asking the guys, you know, show season is our best time to gather information. So when we're out there and the customers are coming in, we're asking, you know, what are you looking for? How many are you trying to sleep? What do you do when you go camp? What is your purpose? You know, what are you looking for? So we're constantly gathering a lot of information to find out what's the most important. And like I said, we do try to stay away from niche. We have had requests for certain floor plans that, you know, there's not a lot of people that look for those. So we try to go with what majority of people are looking for.
Well, I think you also, not all brands work that the same way, right? There are some brands out there that are putting 40 different floor plans out and they're just, you know, seeing what sells really well. So that was why I was really kind of interested in that, because I love because Saber, you do, we pretty much have all the same bedrooms and bathrooms in the front of Fifth Wheel. You just do Fifth Wheels.
Yes.
You're doing stuff, I think, that the folks on the line are really getting to know and getting used to, as opposed to like, what are we going to build today sort of situation. So
that, like, one of the reasons we do it that way is what you're saying right there. It helps keep the quality up. Like if they're doing repetition, a lot of the same things, same bedroom build, same bathroom build, things like that. The more repetition, of course, the better the quality, the better they get at it. So that is one of the reasons for that. Also, we don't have any options on our features, which, you know, we just pack in all the things that we know people want, the solid surface, the lumber core with the true wood cabinetry, you know, auto level, whatever we know is going to make it easier, more enjoyable for their camping experience. We just pack all that stuff in. It helps with the pricing, but it also helps with the quality. So that's one of the reasons too, that we just don't have any options.
Sydney, you spend a lot of time at the RV shows and interacting like directly with potential customers. I think for folks like me who, you know, do the stuff I do. And the people that that are commenting on our videos and stuff, a lot of them, they're really well educated in the RV industry, or they're really involved in like diving through a lot of information about potential RVs that they're going to buy. When you come across potential customers, let's say at an RV show, is that the reality for like the general customer out there? Are there still a lot of people that are just kind of like deer in the headlights? We're not really sure what we want, and we need you to kind of help us through figuring out what it is.
Yeah, I feel like people have a lot more access to, for example, podcasters like you and Abby, and people who have more knowledge where they can learn more through the internet. And then a lot of people are coming in already kind of knowing what they're looking for. They have their top five brands or whatever. But there still is people who are coming in who have never camped, never traveled in an RV or even been in an RV before. So there's really a wide range of customers. I would say the majority of them do know a good amount about RVs, but a lot of them too have also been camping for 20 plus years or so. So you see a lot of different people with a lot of different types of knowledge regarding RVs.
I think there's always been something interesting to me about like RV shows. It's like, and that's the one time that I mainly, you know, hear what potential customers are saying as they walk through them and stuff, is that a lot of what potential customers say they want sometimes seems incongruent with what they actually buy, or what is, you know, what they're willing to pay for, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you find that a lot of customers are sort of, they're sort of have some deal breakers over sort of small things that are really hard to sort of navigate around talking to them about why you don't need that, or why maybe you do want something different?
Yeah, I think that everybody kind of has what they want in their mind. And for deal breakers, I feel like it's really hard to kind of pull somebody from something that's a deal breaker, even if it is the smallest thing. And it's happened multiple times to me at shows. And it kind of comes to a point where it's just like, at the end of the day, that's kind of the unit they're going to be in. And when they have a deal breaker like that, even though I may feel like it's small, if that's really what they want, I always let them know that's what they're paying for, and that's what they'll be using moving forward. So it better be something that they really, really, really like. So that's, I just try to help them find whatever is kind of in their dream list of things that they want.
Because, well, like I said earlier, it is all compromise, and you could have an RV that has everything you want in it, but it's going to be giant and cost a lot of money the more you have in it, right? So when you go through the process of designing an RV, Shirley, like we did with you over the course of several months leading up to the launch of the 37 RV miles, I think there's a bit of a misconception out there too about how big of a companies you are and how many people are involved. And there is a decent amount of people involved, and there's a lot that goes into it, but the decisions happen really quickly, don't they?
Yes, they do.
For us, you gave us sort of a hands-off approach for a while. You were just like, you just send us ideas for what you want. And we did. And, you know, we went through back and forth in a process of, obviously, we were not just trying to build a great RV for us. We knew we couldn't build a perfect. I think that's the first thing that we learned, is like, you can't build a perfect RV because that doesn't exist. And there's the perfect RV for a certain person, but that might not be the perfect RV for another person. We really wanted to build something with you that a decent amount of people would be interested in buying, not just Jason and Abby, right? And a few others. So, I think what we did in that approach was we sort of went through this process of sending you ideas, and then sort of that gets refined. So you've got you and the other folks at Sabre who come up with ideas for floor plans and things like that. But then there's more, like that's going to engineering and then to legal, and then there's the mock-ups. Give us an idea about what the process of is getting an actual RV designed to the point where it's going to be actually produced in like a full prototype.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. So you, like, I'll start with ideas because I'm not the engineer, obviously. So I will come up with ideas and I'm like, I'm thinking this, I want this. And then it gets to engineering and they're like, structure wise for the wall, the windows, you got to do this, you got to do that. Like there's so much more to it than like even I realize a lot of times when I'm trying to like throw ideas at them. So yeah, and there's codes that you have to make. And when you're also building, we also are restricted depending on our vendors. So some things are not built here. Some things are built here, but they only build maybe so many sizes. And maybe we're trying to put in, let's say an 80 inch sofa, but they only have other sizes. So the 80 inch is not going to work for what we're trying to do. Maybe it's got to be bigger. Maybe it's got to be smaller. So there's just so many things that also limit us when it comes to our supply chain too. Mm-hmm. So you're working with your design, you're working with supply chains. Yeah, there's just a lot to it, more than what you realize.
Yeah, I just remember we had some changes based on like what engineering said was possible. And then legal gets involved because they have, you know, they have concerns over safety and issues like that. And then, mm-hmm. but then there's obviously how it's going to be built and how the team on the floor is actually going to go through the process of producing this unit. So we started with a mock-up, which is not on a chassis, right? It was almost like building a small yeah. apartment on the floor. And building I felt like that was kind of the point in the process where like the real work, you feel like you've done so much and you've come up with an idea, but then I felt like the team on the floor who's actually putting it together, they're the ones that end up coming up with so many like unique little solves to make things work or a little bit better.
Oh, absolutely. We do have a fantastic team when it comes to that because I'll throw ideas out and a lot of times they make those ideas 10 times better than what I thought or what I even realized was possible. They'll be like, Shirley, did you think about this? What if we did this? Like, we honestly have a really good team behind the scenes because like I'll have a bunk room, but they're trying to make that bunk room amazing and make everything function properly and just add extra things that make it more user-friendly, things like that, storage, whatever it might be. So they did a lot with yours, especially.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that they would be like, looking to make it the easiest to build as possible, but that's really not the case. They're really caring about the end product.
They really go the extra mile to try to make it not, they don't try to just get away with the simplest thing. They are actually very creative and come up with lots of ideas for us.
When you kind of take a step back and look at your time in the RV industry in terms of the design of RVs, or let's say fifth wheels in particular, I feel like there's been some really major changes over the last few years. What have you kind of seen and where do you think things are sort of headed right now with sort of interior design for RVs?
I think we are more in tune as an industry with like storage, innovation, the fact that, you know, since COVID, so many more people work remotely, a lot of them homeschool. Like, so I know a lot of different brands have tried to incorporate multi-purpose like tables that can also be desks or rooms that cannot just be a bunk room, but maybe an office, things along that line. But I think they've really stepped it up over since COVID's been over. People have really stepped it up to just try to improve and just make them to where they're more long term because people are using them a lot more than what they used to.
Well, I think that's a good point because there's another narrative, you know, that goes around that a lot of the RV manufacturers don't care so much sometimes about quality. They were trying to whip them out as fast as possible. And, you know, my experience with you guys has been if something isn't working, I mean, the last thing you really want is a warranty claim. And yes. And beyond that, the last thing you want is many warranty claims for the same thing. It's kind of a pain, right? So I know through the process of creating our unit and some of the feedback that we had, you've made some changes based on that. And I know, you know, you're hearing that from dealers and you're making changes from their perspective as well. But in terms of like what we did, this sort of influencer partnership, there seems to be a bit of a trend of that happening right now. And I'm thrilled that we were one of the first, and that's really cool. For us, obviously it was eye-opening to be able to be a part of this, but when we hear customers all the time saying, why don't the people that work in the RV industry camp, or why don't they listen to campers? It seems to me like this is sort of like a way to do that seems to be working pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like I said, we've been doing it at shows. Like, we take that feedback, and every week I ask the sales guys, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? But you know, we took it to another level with you guys, like, you know, having you help us create something. And we're actually in the works with another one that'll be coming out pretty soon. And then we also took it to another level with your 37 RV miles. I believe you're aware, we have talked about it a little bit, but we have the new printed version now that's going to be coming out early this next year. So for those people that, you know, don't want the graphics, that want more of a painted look, we do have the digital print units. We have two different colors coming out. One's in your 37 RV miles, and another one is going to be our new 36 EST, which is a new floor plan that we brought out just recently. So,
yeah, they look really slick. It's really, really cool. Well, that's a good lead into Sydney. Can you give us an idea of what is new in the 2026 Sabre models?
Yeah, so we kind of focused on adding more of a luxury look to the units this year. So we did a full profile front cap this year. That added some convenience because now they can use a stackable washer dryer prep. We added bigger windows this year, so it lets a lot more natural light into the units. Molded one piece fiberglass shower in all of our bathrooms, all of our main bathrooms. Definitely gave the bathroom a different look as well, along with LED medicine cabinets. We added some more fun hidden storage throughout the unit so that they can hide their valuables or anything that they'd like to hide in there. Oh, yes, our new projector. So we have a smart projector this year, and the really cool thing about that is it comes with its projector screen in there that doubles as a blackout blind. But also, you can take that smart projector off of its bracket and take it outside and use it as like an outdoor cinema, which is really fun for kids. I know that I grew up camping, and I would have loved that when we grew up camping with our parents. So.
Yeah, I remember the first time we saw somebody doing that. They were actually watching the Robin Williams RV movie, and I just thought that was really cool, like to be out in the middle of nowhere, just having a video projector on the outside your rig. Well, I'm looking very, very much forward to heading down to the Florida RV Super Show. I'm sure we will be seeing Sabre units there again this year. And RV show season is about to start. So I know that's a busy time for you both, where you're heading everywhere around the country to all the different RV shows that are all over the place, not just sort of the big ones. So so if anybody is looking to check out a Sabre, please do so in the coming months at an RV show, or of course you can find them at any dealership, and Forest River's website has a great dealer locator where you can find your local dealership if you're looking to check them out in person. Shirley and Sydney, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it, Jason. Tell Abby hi for us.
Harvest Host is a membership that allows RVers to take a rest from the road and enjoy unlimited overnight stays at over 5,000 unique locations in North America. like breweries, farms, attractions, wineries, and much more. Easily plan and book your next RV trip and enjoy over $1,500 in exclusive member benefits by joining Harvest Hosts. Get 15% off your first year of membership with the code MILES. That's M-I-L-E-S. Go to harvesthost.com to become a Harvest Host member today.
It is time to check the level of our tanks, and that is sponsored by our friends over at Liquefied RV Toilet Treatment, the no BS toilet treatment, and you can find Liquefied at liquefiedrv.com. Okay, Jay, what is in your black tank this week?
Oh, my black tank is this situation that's happening with Battleborn batteries. Battleborn has been a fairly well-respected brand over the years of lithium batteries, and there have been reports in a very large solar and battery forum of people having issues with the terminal, the positive terminal on their Battleborn batteries heating up and sometimes failing. So that forum is ran by a guy named Will Prowse, who has a very large YouTube channel, and he reviews batteries. He tears them open. He does a lot of solar and battery stuff. But what he's really known for is that he takes lithium batteries, and he's done it with like 100 plus different lithium battery brands. And he rips them open with like a Sawzall or like a mini power saw, and does a teardown, shows you the insides, and talks about the design of them and some of the problems and so forth. So he'd heard in his forum that this was happening with Battleborn, who's generally, again, a more expensive brand, but a fairly well-respected brand based off of their warranty and the number of people that buy them, the number of influencers that have shared them.
Can I just say really quick, do you think it's well-respected or well-known? Because I think that those are two different things.
I think both.
Because I know of them, and I knew of them. We don't own Battleborns, but I knew of them because of all the influencers that had them.
I think most people buying Battleborn batteries have felt like they're buying a premium product. They're paying extra for a product that is supposed to be more trustworthy and have a better warranty and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, you would know better than I would, which is why I was asking. Yeah, is it, you know?
From what we know, you know, like one of the most important things in a battery is the quality of the BMS, and Battleborn is supposed to have a good battery management system inside it. And there's several things related to that. Battleborn did become a pretty well-respected brand over the years. They're owned by Dragonfly Energy. Dragonfly makes all sorts of other products, all sorts of other battery products as well under the Dragonfly name. And so anyway, Will was getting these reports of this, and he decided to open one up that was having the problem. He had opened a Battleborn battery up before, but he was opening one up that had the problem that was sent to him by somebody in the forum. And what it showed was the way the positive terminal on the battery design is designed. I don't want to get too technical here, but there's a metal bus bar that the stuff on the positive side is connected to. And in between that and the post itself is a plastic bushing. And the post is bolted through the plastic bushing to the bus bar with two nuts. So the electricity has to run through those bolts, which it was a surprise to Will to see that there wasn't direct contact between the bus bar and the post. And what Battleborn says is that plastic is a failsafe, that if the battery overheats because of poor connections or something, that will self-sacrifice in some way. But what happens, it seems, when that piece of plastic deforms, whether that's due to overheating because of a bad connection or something, or whether it's just due to, you know, extreme weather conditions, you know, you're going from 0 degrees outside to 60 degrees outside in a day or something like that, materials fluctuate in size. What happens then is those nuts loosen up and you get arcing between the post and that bus bar. And Will shows in these videos that, and you know, I have no experience with battle-borne batteries. We've never used battle-borne batteries. We're partners with Mastervolt. So, just to be completely honest about that, but we're not here to try to talk down about their competitor or something, but this is been a big surprise to a lot of people, and there's a lot of concern over this. And what's even more concerning is Battleborn's response to this, basically saying that it is a feature, not a flaw, and that it is a failsafe. But a failsafe should not cause arcing. It should stop any, you know, electricity from flowing at all, right? Because arcing could cause a fire. And not that there have been any reports of fires, but there have been people reporting that they've had this problem with their terminals overheating on battle-borne batteries. And we have received so many emails asking us to cover this. And the only way I could really cover this was by sharing what Will did and talk about it. So I did that on the last news video, and it developed a lot more comments. But again, not really an expert in the area at all, but I did recommend on that video that people have with them a infrared thermometer in order to occasionally check their electrical system, because, you know, RVs they bounce down the road. There's vibrations, their stuff can loosen up. Yeah. And really you should be going through one of your yearly maintenance items should actually be going through and torquing all of your terminals to specifications, even in your power distribution panel. You should actually be going in and torquing the connections to the proper specifications. And how you know those connections are not good is that they are heating up. So having an infrared thermometer, or you can even get an infrared camera that detects heat, which you can point that kind of stuff at, like a wall, and you can see overheating in an outlet. And they've really come down in price these days. There are some people that got really mad at me for suggesting you get an infrared thermometer, because they were like, that's your solution for this problem? How about we hold Battleborne accountable? And I'm like, I'm just saying, like, you want to know if you have a problem. This is just to see. I'm not saying this is a solution.
Well, discussing it like you did on the news and creating a video, as Will did, an incredibly informative video, is holding Battleborne accountable. I guess we could storm the castle. You know, let's all grab our pitchforks and our torches and let's head for, you know, Battleborne HQ. I mean, I guess we could do that. I don't really think that's going to work, short of landing us all in jail. But, you do hold people accountable by
sharing that's happening. Yes.
And you hold people accountable and I think that this will go back to the comment that you made about being a little disappointed. And I'll say, I'm probably just going to go ahead. I didn't really have a black tank, and I think I'm just going to jump on this one with you, because I want to talk about it for a minute. But I think when you said something about being disappointed by Battleborne's response, I think that the way you hold a company accountable with things like using an infrared thermometer to find out if you're having a problem is we need more and more people to speak up. At some point, they're not going to be able to ignore this. I would argue that they shouldn't be ignoring it right now. I think that there's been enough chatter out there and enough people coming forward that your response shouldn't have been, this is standard and this is how we do it, and you all need to chill out. I think it should have been, we hear you, and we're going to look into this, and we're going to do our own testing, and we're going to see if there's something we need to be doing better with these batteries to keep them from overheating like this, because that is not safe. And that is certainly not the kind of brand or battery that we want to produce.
Well, one of the problems, and I'm sorry for those of you watching that I've got my phone out because I got to bring this up to get the right stats here and explain. Dragonfly Energy's stock price in the year to date, so 52-week range, the high at basically the beginning of the year is $38.90 a share. Mm-hmm. Dragonfly stock today, which has actually gone up in the last couple days, but Dragonfly Energy stock today is $3.92. they seem to be financially struggling big time. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Dragonfly has not reduced the price of Battleborn batteries over the years. You know, when we look at technology advancing, TVs get perfect example, get better and better and better. The price actually does come down over time. And there's not a lot of examples of things that come down in price over time, but the entire lithium battery market, the entire battery market has come down in price over time. And you can get more affordable batteries of equivalent quality. And Battleborn has kept their prices where they are. Yeah. And I think that's hurt them. And maybe they don't have the financial ability to bring them down. And that's been a challenge, but they've kept this premium identity, and they may be premium in every other element than this one flaw. And absolutely. I don't know how much this one flaw propagates through the rest of their product line. So this was a 100 amp hour battery. I don't know if it's in the big game changer batteries. I don't know any of that stuff. But again, it's really about their response to this issue, and their response to this issue may be that way because they're not going to do a recall, folks. This is not going to happen. No. And they didn't respond either. We also reached out to them for comment. I reached out to their PR rep for comment, and I didn't hear anything back for our story on it. So I'm disappointed in a company like this who has was really been led by the RV community not responding in a better way to this. And it just might be they don't have a good response because it's a problem that they don't have the ability to do anything about.
I'm getting a little bit of a deja vu to early days of Grand Design FrameFlex.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really where
Some awkward responses,
not acknowledging the issue. And I understand there is a line that you walk, and we have talked about the importance of data and how that influences decisions that are made for manufacturers, and not just going by someone says, well, XYZ is not working for me. I think you need to change it. And then you go and you change it. I understand if you need to do your own research into this and you need to put a team on this to figure out what is going on, that's one thing, and you need to take your time. That is one thing. But when you completely dismiss a group of individuals and a knowledgeable solar and battery expert, when you dismiss them and then ghost, and you know, we'll take us out of, you know, they probably think, oh, you know, just this little YouTube channel over there.
They send us press releases. We have a press rep that we work with.
I know. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to, you know, it's not like, I guess maybe in their mind, it's not like NBC was calling or something, but that's fine. I would argue that you might want to go watch the video though, because a lot of people had a lot of things to say about it. And I do think at some point you don't make the change just because, one person is telling you this, but when hundreds of people start telling you this, when you start seeing what happens is when you don't attempt to appropriately get ahead of a story, and you don't appropriately take the steps that you need to ensure that this story doesn't get out of hand. If we've learned nothing from Grand Design, like if we know nothing else, that is, if you do not get ahead of a story in an appropriate way and you hear people, you listen to people, and you would do your best to try and correct it within what you know to be your parameters, within what you know to be what's truly happening, but you're listening to people. If you don't get ahead of this story, then you're going to find yourself with about hundreds of YouTube videos being made about you.
Yeah.
And everybody else jumping on that bandwagon.
And speculating and all that stuff.
And you're going to have groups made about you.
And even beyond just a poor response, it's a response, and this is, again, exactly what Grand Design did, was blaming the customers at first. Yeah. Like,
overloaded it.
And Battleborn was saying in these responses, and we should say this, the response from Battleborn was not to Will. It was to the individual customers that are having the problem. And the response is, well, you know, you probably had a loose connection, and I'm paraphrasing here. Loose connections overheat things, and this is a fail safe.
And I do believe that in some cases with the FrameFlex, was overloading. And
we've had a lot of people admit that in our comments as well, saying I was part of the problem.
Right. I've called that out. I mean, nothing is ever black and white.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the complex. Truth always lies in the gray. Always. Okay. So Battleborn and Grand Design at the time, they needed to find the gray. They need to get into that gray space. And that is where they need to be handling the situation. And right now they're drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah.
And they're on one side and everybody else is on another. And that never works out. Never works out. I mean, come on. Never works out at home with my kids.
But when I draw a line in the sand
with my children, I'm not going to win that. I will never win that. Like, ever. Yeah. So, you know, I don't really know how this is going to go. It'll be interesting to see as we come back kind of from the holiday season and life starts to ramp back up again. What kind of wings this story is going to develop.
If you have Battleborn batteries, as I'm sure a lot of you do, I wouldn't worry too much. Again, get an infrared thermometer if you don't have one, or a thermal camera, and check your power system every now and then. Should be doing that anyway. If you see a terminal heating up, then you can decide whether or not to take that battery out of the, you probably should take that battery out of your system. And then you should be contacting Battleborn for a replacement under their warranty, which, you know, part of what I'm hearing out of this whole situation is Battleborn's warranty isn't as exciting as a lot of people thought it was over the years. Because the thing is, if you have to have a return a battery to be tested by Battleborn to be replaced under warranty, well, you're shipping a battery that is a hazardous material through the mail, and that costs a lot of money to do. Mm-hmm. So you're already spending like $100 to just ship it back to them. And there's a whole process involved, and it's not as great as it you've been led to believe, which is a whole nother thing that Abby and I have been dealing with and talking about a lot lately, with that we hate buying things online anymore. We'd much rather just go to the store. If I've got a battery that's got a problem, I'd rather just be able to take it back to my RV dealership and have them deal with it and give me a new one or something like that. I know that's not the world we live in right now, but it's been frustrating for us as we do our holiday shopping, for sure.
Yeah. So we'll keep our ear to the ground on this story. And I'm sure this is not the last time we'll be talking about it. But we need to move on.
Sure.
Because we've now turned this into a 2-hour episode. Jason, what is in your fresh take this week? We are not getting on the road by 2 o'clock today. This is not happening. What's in your fresh tank, hon?
My fresh tank is fantasy football playoffs.
No, I don't want to talk to you.
Are here.
I'm leaving. I'll be back when you're done with this fresh tank.
We are in playoffs for fantasy football in both of the 2 mile marker leagues and in our family league.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in all three. So I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a really wild year. And, you know, this is something that you're interested in joining us for next year. This is something we have done with mile markers the last couple of years. We're going to find some new ways to sort of have everybody be able to talk a little bit more next year.
Spice it up a little
bit.
But
Abby's disappointing because she's not doing so hot.
I am in the everyone's a winner playoffs, also known as the consolation games.
So the weird thing. Why
do we even have them?
The weird thing about this is, so we split the mile markers up because there's too many into two different leagues. Mm. But you and I and our son Ethan are in all three, or all both of those leagues, and then our family league.
Yep.
And some reason, the way that it worked out this week, I am playing Ethan in all three leagues. So he is giving me the hardest time.
He's bragging.
And he's so like, talking crap to me a lot, but it's all about one league. And I'm like, I'm destroying you in the other two. What's happening? This Thursday night, there's only been one game and I have 90 points.
You and Ethan both landed in the playoffs for the Super Bowl of fantasy football for both mile markers and the family. And I landed in the games where I'm just trying to place fifth. That's how you win the consolation games. And to all of my mile marker friends out there who are also in the consolation games with me, I see you. I feel your pain. I know what this is like. I raise a glass to you because we tried. We really did. And at some point in the season, I just turned my focus on trying to ruin it for all the rest that were up there in the top four.
I should have had you just trade me some good players.
Not interested. I am bitter that way. I am a bitter person. The only one I'm rooting for at this point is Tim, who is currently in one of our leagues, 15-0, and I just want this man to finish out without a single loss. I think that is spectacular. And then I will need him to teach a masterclass on how I can do that. Only to me, though. He can't tell his secrets to anyone else. So it's been really fun. We love fantasy football. It's fun in our house.
It's never something that I thought I would be into.
No, but
I love it. It's great.
I really enjoy that it is something that not only our family does together, but we do as a community with our mile marker friends.
And it's been a good football season in general. This has been one of the great things about the NFL in the last few years is that there's a lot of parity in the league and a lot of teams are even. There's been teams that have been surprises, like the Bears. You're wearing your Bears sweater today.
Oh, let's go. It could be when you watch this on Sunday that rather than being the cheerful Bears fan I am right now, I might be won't won't because we're playing Saturday night against the Packers. Boo. And so.
Sorry, our Packers fans.
Packers fans. But I love you. But I will. We will never meet in the middle on this one. Y'all are mean. You're mean to us. You say mean things about us. You're mean to us.
Bears fans say a lot of mean
things. We are the nicest fans of the NFL.
It's not true at all. But we're nowhere near the bottom. We're not Steelers fans.
We're
not Kansas City fans. We're not Patriots fans. Oh,
it's rough being a Kansas City fan right now. I actually feel really bad for Patty Mahomes. But
have you ever seen the SNL sketch, it's like a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial and they're all having fun. It's football season, watching football. And it's an episode where Bill Burr is hosting and he's part of the commercial, but he's just at B-dubs because his wife doesn't like him home during football. And he's a Patriots fan and like he gets in a fight with his son who's been waiting outside with his grandkid. It's great.
So funny. So anywho, it's been a really fun fantasy football season and it is coming to an end, which is summer.
What's in your black tank this week?
I don't have one.
You jumped on the battle board with me. Yeah. What's in your fresh tank?
So my fresh tank is just so over the week I baked a bunch of cookies and I put them together into tins for some friends, for our neighbors, for some family, which was a lot of fun. That's the first time I've really ever done anything like that or had a kitchen big enough that I could bake the kind of big batches that I was baking because I was giving away to six different people. And I'm not a really super sweet person. Like cookies are for the most part, really never my thing. They're always very, very sickly sweet to me. And this is not a new cookie. It's not, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. I'm just sharing this particular cookie that I really enjoyed baking. If you are much like me and don't particularly like a really sweet cookie, or you don't want to do something where it requires a ton of frosting and sprinkles to decorate it, but you want something that looks really beautiful for a cookie. And that is, I looked this up and I hope I'm going to say the name right. The Speculaas cookie. It's an Speculaas. It's a Dutch cookie. And what's really lovely about it is that it's a lot of warm spices. So it has cinnamon and nutmeg and cloves and mace. And I believe I'm leaving out one more spice that's in it. And so it has, and it comes out this really beautiful kind of like brown, just gorgeous color. And they're nice and crispy. They've got a really nice warm taste to them. They're not sickly sweet. And what's really fun about these is that they're meant to be stamped with those wooden stamps of the name that I cannot pronounce, so I'm not going to try. But you stamp them and you make these beautiful imprints in them. And they bake so beautifully like that. And I didn't have the wooden block ones, but I had these really beautiful cookie stamps. And I used those. And I just thought that they came out so lovely. Just with that beautiful print in them. They required no additional powdered sugar or icing or sprinkled sugar on top. And I just thought that was the first time I'd ever made them. And I really liked them. And so I just wanted to share, if you've never made those cookies before, it was very easy to do. And it's a nice addition to a cookie tin to offset, like if you're doing a lot of other sweet cookies like I did.
That's it for this week's episode of the RV Miles podcast.
Yes, it is, friends. And that's it for us in 2025. So the next time we see you, it will be 2026. So we hope that you continue to have a beautiful holiday season. We wish you the very, very best in the new year. Please remember that we're coming back with many episodes over on the RV Miles YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/RV Miles. We will be at Tampa with a meet and greet. We will be at the Kansas City RV show with a meet and greet and seminars. We hope to see you at one of those in January. And until next year, friends, stay safe, stay healthy, and please keep logging those RV miles over on the RV Miles YouTube channel.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.